Do you know what it's like to be on the bill and to play for 15 minutes and the only people there to see you are the other bands and their girlfriends?
From Buffalo, New York, where the ultimate tool to fight choking on Ted's hot dogs is a glass of Loganberry. It's the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast.
Welcome to the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast, where we talk about the ups, downs, lefts, rights,
and punks for Planned Parenthood
of the Buffalo music scene. My name is Ryan Gurnett, and I don't believe in astrology because I'm a Capricorn, and we're skeptical.
I'm Cassidy Dwan. I'm a Libra. I like music. It is my season. I'm a believer in all good things.
On this episode of the podcast, we have a lot of news to catch up on. We have a lot of past shows to catch up on. We have a lot of upcoming shows to catch up on. So we are going sans guest.
Sans guest, yeah. Ryan.
Are you good for this?
Let's be sans guest.
Sans guest, yes. So first.
Be our guest, except not.
No, yeah.
No guest.
No, don't be our guest.
I
not
won't
today.
Sing any Disney today.
Yeah, you can be our, I mean, we're not going to let you talk, though. You don't get a
I
mic.
I hang out with children so often.
So first, hi, allwny.com. It's good to be
back
to our listeners. Yay! We don't have our soundboard for this episode, so I can't play
we
any of the
party
back
noises. Inside it again?
Yeah.
I'm like back!
We were on Think Twice Radio for a while. I just want to mention that real quick.
That was fun.
Yeah, we had a few problems. We had some problems with URLs, branding. We lost half an episode, and then
the struggle is real.
And then they, it turns out, have a policy about mentioning asking for money. So our Patreon kind of violated some of the terms and conditions.
So we won't be sad it's over. We'll be happy it happened.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I still, if you're interested in starting a podcast, Think Twice is a great place to go. Richard's a great guy. They have a ton of good resources.
Pretty gnarly awesome.
It was. I am going to miss that really nice studio. But mm-hmm. I am building my own really nice studio.
Well,
so
one can dream.
We don't have cameras yet.
A boy's dream.
So, but yeah, I'm very happy to be back at LWNY. Home of Scott Leffler. We can throw in our Joe Kent jokes again, and we are going to make our – we're going to try and win Best Podcast on all WNY this
Uncensored.
Year for the awards.
Back. We're ready.
Back. And it feels so good. So we have a lot of other news and stuff to talk about, but let's – why don't we just hit up some previous shows? I'm just going to mention two, and we'll play some music from both of them afterwards. On July 26th, I went to Ironworks, and I got to see Handsome Jack on their Going Away
I
on
love
Tour
them.
Show.
Yeah, good energy.
I've
like
got
the
that
kind of rock that your dad would like to.
Exactly. Like I've actually considered like burning a copy of what I have and giving it to like
absolutely.
My mom.
Absolutely.
I don't typically like 70s rock, but like the way they do it, and the way they do it as a trio is really impressive.
It's a lot of energy from a three-piece in any, you know, that goes without saying, but like they also have the look of
God.
Like that, you know, 70s rock.
They look like someone buried them in the ground in 1970 and just dug them
it.
Up and then put them right on
it
stage.
It legitimizes
like, come on, guys,
every
let's go.
Bit. Right, right. No, definitely.
So
when I say dad friendly, I don't mean it as a diss at all.
Oh no, not at all.
Yeah.
It's just one of those bands that I think everyone it's accessible for everyone.
They've been doing like some product endorsements.
Really?
No, yes. Oh, yes. Like I've seen some product endorsements, a particular speaker or something of the like that they were, you know, promoting along with their upcoming release kind of thing. And it just looked so polished and, you know, I think when they were first captivating to me was when they were playing like at the Broadway Market during a thing. Maybe it was an infringement.
That sounds really cool.
It was a while back though.
I'm like, sure it was. They've been around for a while.
Definitely 10 years-ish back. Anyway, good job. Bravo.
Yes. So they played with First Ward. And we have a clip from that show. It is the song Keep On. And they had a three-piece horn section.
A live clip from this particular show?
Yes.
Very good.
It has, I know Kim, who plays sax in Brass Pro.
Mm-hmm.
I know she is one of the three horn players in there. I'm not sure who the other ones are, but yeah, it was. Anytime you want to bring out a horn section, like,
fill it out,
just go for
wall
it.
Of sound,
absolutely.
It all.
The Waves are another local band who's doing a show coming up soon.
Sure.
And they have Brass Pro playing with them, so
no,
they would
be interested.
So
in that.
like Handsome Jack is going, like, they're going like three piece horn section, and that's cool.
Uh-huh.
The Waves, which features Joe Maniacci, who owns Allentown Music, who is a super awesome guy.
They still wear those suits?
According to the picture I'm looking at on Facebook right now, yes. I think that's kind of a thing. I've never seen the Waves, to be honest. So I'm really hoping I can make it down for the show. It's Saturday, October 26th. It's at Sportsman's Tavern. It's going to be their last show of the year. And, it's a $5 show. You usually don't see.
Sportsman's is great.
You usually don't see $5 shows at Sportsman's, though. They're usually kind of pricey. So I like I haven't actually been in there yet, just because it's not typically the kind of stuff I listen to. So I'm excited to get a chance to check it out for that. And, at first they were just going to get a couple members of Brass Pro, but now it's basically anyone from Brass Pro who shows up can play. So,
well, they could play up in the upper rafters of Sportsman. I mean, if you haven't been there lately, it's all built up and, you know, open to air outside on the upper deck. And so as a sound, you know, that marching band, I've seen them navigate tight spaces before.
Oh, yeah.
This could be really something.
So,
I'm sad that I miss...
Do you want to hang out there? We can go. I'll bring the recorder. We'll have something for the podcast.
Yowza.
We'll figure it out.
Okay.
All right. In the meantime, here is Keep On from Handsome Jack from July 26th at Buffalo Ironworks here on the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast. Back on allwny.com.
We're back.
And that was Handsome Jack here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast. That was not the song they had horns on.
I was going to say.
But it did give me a really good opportunity to talk about the Wave Show and Brass Pro, who are both excellent. So I'll just take that as an opportunity to...
Your brain was horny.
I've got, yeah, it's so horny. It's just all my mind wants to think
section.
About.
But they actually did play with a brass section.
Yes, it did happen. It was for
it
a few songs,
not
track. The whole thing.
That was the Keepin' On track.
Yeah, yeah.
What was that actually called?
That is called Keep On.
Oh, see, I guess.
They played on, I think it was I've Got It Bad, maybe. I think they played on a few, and I got them, but that wasn't it, guys.
Good, good, good.
That's
well.
All right. So, we're going to... Oh man, we have so much. So I'm just going to mention this real quick. I'll talk about that later.
Your act together.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. All right. We're just going to talk about past shows. On September 10th, I went to Mohawk Place, and I saw 42 Eagle.
Okay.
They were opening up for Rarity. I really like 42 Eagle. They are a pop punk band from Fredonia. I would probably, on the pop punk spectrum, I would compare them with. They're kind of Blink-182 like.
Okay.
Yeah, they kind of got that sound. They also have a trumpet player who's there from time to time.
See, again, yep.
And Jake Supovitz, the singer, he just.
But it's not like ska then, no?
No, definitely
pop,
not ska.
Punk,
yeah,
right.
It's almost, they almost use it the same way you use like a keyboard to do like melody on top.
I see.
And I don't know, with their music, it's honestly, it's not always necessary. But if you, I don't have a problem with it. But they were really good live. I really like the way Jake writes songs. It reminds me of the kind of stuff that like I was like into like right at the end of high school and beginning of college, that kind of.
So these are like Fredonia young people?
Yes, these are Fredonia young people. They are
young
probably,
people. It's all relative. I guess I'm just an old
they're
person.
About, they're between 20 and 22. They're
okay.
Young people.
Yes.
They're kids. They're still in college.
They're in their early adultness.
So
yeah.
They played live. They didn't have the trumpet player. They were really good. Like, I really enjoyed the set. Like, I wasn't really, you know, when you listen to a local band for, you know, a year and a half, you kind of go in seeing them live and you really don't know what you're going to get.
But sure.
They put on a fantastic show. They also released an album within the last year, which you can find on Spotify, which is excellent.
Good.
So at the end of this segment, we'll play a song from them. But there's other stuff to talk about. On September 11th, the next day, I went to the Rec Room, and
so many fun things.
I got free tickets for that one.
You know, rub it in.
There's this one person who just like every so often is just like, "Hey, this band's coming to town.
You want
to
do this cool, awesome
do about
thing?"
It? And
with
I'm
me?
Like, I don't really write reviews anymore, and my podcast is about local music, but I'll go. But well, first off, the Rec Room is great. Have you been
yes.
to the Rec Room yet?
I like live band karaoke.
Oh,
they do it
awesome.
Themed by decade. You
yeah.
know, you have to limit your live band requests clearly. So
oh,
the
absolutely.
Band, the what are they called? The something touch, the impossible touch, the what are I gotta look
the cover
this
band?
Up. Yeah,
I think it's is it Invisible Touch?
The Invisible Touch.
Yes, yes.
They're
named
the
after,
ones who do live band karaoke.
Named after one of my favorite Phil Collins sung songs.
Right.
Yeah, the last time I had been to the Rec Room was like right after they opened, and they didn't have the booths or anything in. So I went
right.
in and like everything's set up now. It is really nice.
It's kind of polished for a Buffalo.
It really
spot,
is.
Right?
And before they had it where you had to like the entrance was like right next to the stage. I'm so happy they don't do that anymore.
Can I tell you, I thought, you know, I'd gone in there after playing waitress, and you think that I'd eat food in the restaurant that I work in. But I, you know, I get there and
you
I
get
want
tired
snacks.
Of it after a while.
And I thought that the snacks were going to be extra crappy there, and they were pretty good.
I'm happy you mentioned that. I saw some people eating like chicken wings and stuff.
Right.
They looked good.
And they were
so
pretty bomb because I think I shared an order of wings with someone that
nice.
Evening.
I
have to go back there.
My only complaint: the seating there kind of sucks.
Right.
Like they've got some booths. There are no stools at the bar.
Right.
And so for me, and like I think I looked ahead of time, and you need a certain amount of people to reserve a booth. So as someone who can't stand a lot,
yeah, that's never been an issue at karaoke. Again, it might not be the coolest place to hang out on
oh,
a Friday night. I'm
for
not sure.
for the Hunna, it was the Hunna opening for Barnes Courtney. It was
yes,
packed.
Right.
Packed.
And you might want standing because they have an upper deck there too. No, yeah.
Oh yeah, they do.
They do, my friend.
Why didn't I think about watching the concert up there?
Sure.
Well,
so
now I know for
game
next
changer.
Time. Yes, you just blew my mind.
It's hard.
So, yeah, it's a great place for a concert if you find something cool going on there. Like, it's definitely worth checking out. I saw the band there. I was there to review. It's called The Hunna.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like the lead singer kind of has this look of like Australian Nickelback, even though I found out later I think they're British.
Okay.
But the music's really good. It's kind of like pop punk indie kind of emo-y kind of stuff, very radio friendly and slick. But the band had a lot of energy live. So sometimes you hear that radio stuff and then you see it live and it doesn't translate. But
sure, especially if they're, you know, touring from the other side of the pond,
sure,
so to say.
So, but no, they were great. They were, you know, super open to people meeting them after the show at the merch table and talking to them.
Good,
they seemed
good.
Real friendly. They seemed like real nice guys, and the music was great.
And I like that level of venue is open for bands, again, like to have a venue accessible for a band at that level where you're in a room and it's intimate enough, but you still, you know, there's not a lot of that capacity. You know what I mean?
No, you're right.
Like, how many people fit in that room?
Oh.
Four. 80?
Yeah, I'd give, yeah, give or take.
Maybe if you do the upper,
yeah.
Maybe less.
There aren't a lot of good, like, medium-sized rooms.
Exactly.
There's small and there's, like,
what are you
going to
do? Put them at Klein Hands? Put them at the Town Ballroom, which is bigger?
Yeah.
You know, the Tralf, maybe, is a good-sized room in the same capacity zone. Maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Give or take? Yeah.
So
anyway, glad to see that open.
Yeah, and that was great. I wanted to mention, so I didn't really care about Barnes Courtney. I wasn't there to review Barnes Courtney. It's, you know,
a lot of people really do.
Oh yeah, yeah, a lot of people dig it.
People,
so I'm not here talking shit about Barnes Courtney. But the one part of his set that was really standoutish was at one point he called out a 16-year-old girl who was in the crowd who made a cover of his song. Who was there, who went on stage, and she fucking killed it.
That kind
of
thing.
Oh, my God. She was the best. Like, I don't even care about Barnes Courtney. Like, I left and I'm like, I don't care about Barnes Courtney, but I'm like, who the fuck is Sydney Irving? I need to see this. So, if you guys want to check it out, she is on Facebook. Her address is Official Sydney Irving Music. Sydney is spelled with two Y's, so it's Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
She is 16. She is an unsigned artist. I haven't actually taken the time to listen to. She has a couple albums worth of material already online. But if it is anything like what I saw at the Rec Room, like, check her out. She is good. Like,
oh, that's definitely cool.
Like I saw her go up and I'm like, oh, that's cute. It's just like some girl fan of his who's going up on stage. I hope she does a good job. And then she's just like rocking the mic like she's been there. And I'm like, she leaves the stage and I'm like, well, I got to find out
bring
who the hell
back.
That is.
Bring her back.
Yeah, like, maybe I want to book her for something. And then I'm flipping through and I actually saw she was one of my Facebook friends. And
good.
I'm like, okay. And then I see the crowd she's playing for and the 2,000 Facebook followers. And I'm like, shit, I don't think I could buy. I think she's
she could play.
I think she's above my level, I think.
We could find her a song.
We're going to look at it. But yeah, check her out if you get a chance. I wish I had something recorded of hers to play right now. But she was fantastic. So
we got to deal with her mom. We got to meet her mom.
No, I don't want another momager. I've dealt with momagers. They're terrible. So, so that was those couple of shows. We are going to play X's Can't Be Friends by 42 Eagle next.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Here on the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast.
Sing it.
At allwny.com.
I'm going to wind up being fine and being a fucking mess. All alone, I'm facing sadly all my sadness. Where's you leading? Where's you leading in? Fuck you, I'm afraid I'm leading. You said this is the end. I didn't mean to love it. I wasn't. I want to live myself in the world. You said this is the end. I didn't lose a lover, I've lost a best friend. My mind's at war with myself in this perfect tale. And I bid farewell and sleep all alone myself. All alone.
And that was 42 Eagle here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com. We were just having a conversation about the proper way to hold a microphone.
Truth. Because yes. You couldn't get over the grabbing by the top part.
Yeah, I want to grab by the top. I think I'm a rapper. I think is how it works.
That's how they do it. And when they drop the mic, you were just getting ready to drop the mic.
No, I wasn't.
Oh.
I don't treat my equipment that way.
Don't drop the mic.
No, don't drop mics.
There should,
I wish there was another way that you could have that impact on a set without breaking someone's equipment. That would make me really happy.
Right, right, right.
But yeah, the microphone has like, you know, it's a stick at the end. It's a handle to hold on to. You don't hold on to the end where you actually record stuff because
sure.
That bothers the sound. So, you know, just something to think about, folks.
You're just telling yourself how to do it correctly.
I'm telling everyone how to do it correctly. I see it done wrong a lot.
Proper etiquette, microphone etiquette.
Yeah. I mean, and also, you should bring your own mics for a show. If you're a lead singer, just think of all the spittle from other bands that end up in that microphone. You say is you're holding one of my mics to your face.
You know, trust me. I'm not licking it.
Yet. Okay.
Yuck.
So let's talk about, we're going to talk about a couple other previous shows. On September 25th, we had Jen DeSantis, Pam Swartz, and Pocket Vinyl at Revolution Gallery.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was so good.
So Pocket Vinyl was a two-piece at that particular...
Yes, Pocket Vinyl regularly performs as a two-piece,
gotcha.
Where it's just Eric playing and singing and Elizabeth painting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the way that they're running this set is that they have a hat, and you have to pick a song title out of the hat.
Aha.
If you know a song title, you can request one, but if not, you pick it out of a hat, and then you have to hand the hat to someone you don't know, and then that person picks a song. And outside of the last song in their set, that's how they operated that night. And it was really fun.
Goodness.
And it was, you know, when you build a set, you kind of, you have, there's an ebb and a flow to how you want to set things up. But I think with this particular set, it was all just really...
There's a lot of
more,
spontaneity.
Yeah.
It's a very choose-your-own-adventure type of a show.
It was definitely, it felt almost like a little more, almost like aggressive
so,
than,
like,
than the average Pocket Vinyl
there's
show.
There's live painting happening to explain the Pocket Vinylness, right?
Yes.
So the lady friend is the artist?
His wife,
the
Elizabeth.
Wife lady? I wasn't sure of the state of the union. But so the wife is painting live along with musical accompaniment. And, like, is there a theme already?
No. No, you never know what she is going to paint. I mean, if you look at her work, I think you get an idea of what's going to be coming.
What type of artist she is.
Exactly.
Okay.
Like, there's, she really
likes... What kind of medium is she painting?
It's oil paint.
Yeah.
It's
a
2-foot by 2-foot canvas.
Canvas of sort? Yeah.
Yes, I don't
prepared.
Know art stuff like that, but no, she likes like greens and blues and orange, like kind of those kinds
sure.
of colors. It's a lot of nature stuff, So I'm happy to say that. I told my wife I was going to get the pocket – at the end of the set, they auctioned off the painting. I told my wife we were going to get the pocket vinyl painting for our anniversary, and I got it.
Yes.
And it's gorgeous, and it's a bear, and there's a guy with a staff, and we were talking about it with the band afterwards, and, like, they were asked – like, it was really interesting. Eric and Elizabeth were showing us the painting and asking what we thought of it. And,
right.
And I'm like, well, it's a bear, and they had a, like, there was a guy with like a backpack and a staff, and I'm like, that looks like, he looks like a bear shepherd.
A bear shepherd.
So that was the name of the painting. That's what Elizabeth now calls the character, the bear shepherd. And it's just like, it's like this, they're going up this mountain, and
I just
all
started
these
singing
swirls.
The bear went over the mountain in my head to myself.
There you go. And I mean, it fit the color scheme of my living room.
Good.
And my wife and I have a thing for bears, so I was really happy to get it. And
it was meant for you. The energy projected into the room at that moment was like,
as she was painting it, every little so
often,
my wife and I would make eye contact and like nod, like, yeah, this is ours.
Cool.
So
and what a story though to remember the creation of the art that you have.
Oh, absolutely.
As an original piece in your home.
Yeah, and Pam Swartz played, and she did her looping stuff, and it was mm-hmm. it was so
and Jen
cool.
DeSantis, you said.
Jen
yes.
DeSantis played with Not Me as the bass player.
Right. How did that go?
You know, I wasn't playing bass, but oh no,
so
you mean
little,
the performance?
No, I meant her performance. Sure.
No, it was really good.
Very good.
Yeah, she's always like she's always right on point, and she has that kind of voice where, you know, I was standing outside doing the door. You could see people just walking by on the sidewalk, and they hear her, and they stop, and they look. And
sure.
We definitely had a few people end up by,
stop like, dead in their tracks.
Yeah, we had a few
love
people
it.
Who were just like, what's going on? And I'm like, it's $5.
No, and at Revolution Gallery, what a great spot.
Oh, my God.
I've already
I hadn't done a show
my
there
love
before.
For Craig and Maria.
Yeah, it's such a great place. Their art, too, all the art there they have is so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, and yeah, so I always say pocket vinyl is a good lesson for bands to learn about merchandising and how to make some extra money doing that, because, you know, they make $40 at the door. I bought the painting for over $200.
Yeah, they
that's
started out with nothing, now they're here.
Yeah, and, you know, they always...
That's actually really great. What other way to spend your time, too?
Like, oh, absolutely. I love watching her paint, especially when you get near the end with the details, just like the outlines
and
of the characters.
And it's a beautiful way for them as a couple to share their talents.
Absolutely.
You know?
I don't think there's any musician guy who exists who doesn't have that dream a little bit of like I went to tour with my wife. That'd be really
little
cool.
Wifey painting alongside. I mean, I don't know.
I've tried teaching my wife many instruments in hopes to do that. I haven't gotten there yet, but we're going to work on it.
Melodica.
Maybe.
I can see Kelly with melodica, yeah.
Maybe. I actually jammed with a guy who played melodica a couple
some,
nights ago. It was
some
fun.
Some are serious, those guys. Anyway,
that was awesome, and that was the first official show as Struggling Productions.
There you go.
And then on September 28th, I just went fucking crazy. There was so many good shows happening. So, at 6 p.m., I stopped by Bath Time for Baphomet, which was a fundraiser for a group that is. I'm blanking on, but if you go on Facebook, I'm sure you can look up the event and find it.
I know nothing of
it. Was
spell Baphomet.
Baphomet.
Sure.
I know it has meaning, but I'm not gonna like sit here and lie and pretend I'm intellectual and I know it.
Well, now I have
but
to study.
Yeah, yeah. You'll do some work. You can report back to us on the next episode and let us
notes.
Know. But Ian from Cardboard Homestead, him and his father put it together. It was an all-day festival. I'm really upset. I can't remember who they were raising stuff for, because it wasn't money that they were accepting. It was like we brought bath products, like soaps and shampoos and stuff.
Mm.
And that's the kind of things they were looking for. Yeah. Cassie's looking it up if you can find it. That's cool. It went from like 6 to 1. It had a ton of bands on it. I only got to stay for a little bit. I caught Poindexter. I first saw them at Buffalo Punks for Planned Parenthood. I was happy to see them again. Their drummer, Steve Kerfine, who has been one of my favorite drummers in Buffalo since I met him, is moving to Syracuse, so that's one of their last shows with him. So I was excited about that. From there, I ducked out to Tudor Lounge on the Cinder, had their CD release show for their new album, Lamplighter. I didn't get to catch On the Cinder. I finally got to see Over and Out. Cassie, Over and Out, so good.
They are so good.
I
was going to take pictures, right,
mm-hmm.
At the show last weekend for the anniversary show. I was all about taking pictures. I grabbed my phone, and I was so taken. You know, they're so good. It's such
– It really
is. It's almost borderline that, like, Travelers kind of folk punk thing with the fiddle going on. Like, there's – Sally, right?
Yeah.
Sally is cool. I talked to her for a little bit after, and I said, I really appreciated their set because I'm such a crappy violin player. I was like, no, that's awesome. But anyway, I went to take a picture, and I was so taken with the performance that I had to start jumping around dancing instead of taking photos, because you got to live in the moment.
Absolutely.
You know, that fear of missing out that I could have projected onto the interwebs. I needed to be there, not missing out myself.
That always becomes something that I like consider when I'm at shows. It's like I don't want to keep looking at my recorder. I want to pay attention. But
Do I document this?
I saw them on September 28th, and a couple days later, a band canceled on our October 4th live episode, and I asked them, and they did it on short notice, which made me so happy. But so I got to see them twice in a week, and they're go see them, please. They're so good. They have a full length and an EP they've released both this year. They're really good.
I really did want to hear them playing in a barn with like some hay rides and beer kegs outside.
Maybe we can work on that.
I would love that. Fall is still here, right?
Yeah, we got time.
Yikes.
The Same Sun played. They are a local. They're punk with some ska mixed in. Real energetic, a lot of fun, a lot of sing-along stuff. The crowd was moshing. They had some crowd surfer was like touching the ceiling. He was getting pushed so high over at Tudor Lounge. I was standing next to their mom. Looks like because I believe the singer and the drummer are brothers.
I saw your crowd surfer photo.
That was a cool photo, right?
Yes.
So like mom was next to me and like the family who looked like they've never been to a show like this before. But mom went towards the pit and was like dancing. Like she wanted to get in like the last song or two, she was like getting into it. And like I've talked about like involved parents with music stuff. That was great. I love that.
That's the right way to be involved.
So mom from the Same Son who I talked to at Tudor Lounge, you get an A+ for this week. You're the struggle is real mom of the episode.
So it's the Same Son like the sun in the sky, like S-U-N, and yes. Not the Same Son like his mom's baby. Son.
Yes. That is actually good to point out.
Good.
From there, I went to Mr. Goodbar. Sons of Luther had an CD release party as well.
You were dying.
The next day I was brutal. Like the next 2 days, my legs weren't working. My arms were actually messed up because I don't have music for this episode, but the next episode I recorded every set I'm talking about right now.
Madman.
I'm insane. So I walked in and I didn't know how good the lineup was for that show that night. And I got to see Deadwolf, who I've never seen before. I only got to catch about 20 minutes. They're great. They have like a lo-fi 60s rock sound, like real good retro kind of feel to it. And, they were super fun. And then Sons of Luther came on. Their singer, Ren, was in my band, the band I was in for the Sugar City Band Lottery. This is how I know him. And it was like a throwback rock show. It felt like kind of like Strokesy,
yeah,
kind of Ramonesy. Like he was up there with like a leather jacket and the guitar,
sure.
And it was really good. I haven't had a chance to listen to the album yet, but Sons of Luther, also spelled S-O-N.
Okay.
Check that out online. It was really cool and it was a great performance. And
wait a minute, we got both kinds of sun going on here. S-U-N and S-O-N.
Oh, man, I'm confused. Okay,
yeah.
The one band, the punk band was Same Son, and that's S-U-N. This is Sons of Luther, which is S-O-N.
But Sons of Luther's mother was not present?
You know what? I'm not sure. I wonder if his mom
was. Is the father's name Luther?
I always assumed it was.
Oh, my gosh.
So maybe we'll have him on an episode and ask him.
Because there are two sons.
Ren is a really interesting guy.
All right.
He'd be fun to have on.
These are the kinds of questions I have.
These are the hard-hitting questions. So we're running super long with this segment, but before we are done, I want to mention we had our Buffalo Punks for Planned Parenthood show on August 25th. We raised over $600.
That's great.
For Planned Parenthood. We could have done better.
Well, you know.
We did good.
What was the weather?
But we could have done better. It was a nice day.
Oh, shit. I was trying to give you that.
No. You know what? I don't need to be giving it because I'm going to do it again.
You're going to do it again.
So on March 14th of 2020, we are having Buffalo Punks for Planned Parenthood 2, the Squeakquel. And, we're going to start it later because we can end it later because it's not on a Sunday this time.
There you go.
I've already... Scarecrow Show is in. We have this playing. We have Tina Panic Noise. We'll be talking about that more as it gets closer.
Great.
But I'm really happy to announce that and mention it. And then why don't we play a few songs from Buffalo Punks are
playing
here.
Why don't we?
So we had a side stage in addition to the main stage where we had mostly folk punk and kind of acoustic-y acts. So I'm going to play a couple from tracks from there. First, I'm going to play Jonestown from Nicotine Jones.
Right.
If you haven't heard him before, he has got a great old-timey roots rock kind of sound. I will mention he is playing the Infringement Festival Festivus fundraiser
Festivus.
On December 28th at Nietzsche's.
I love a Festivus.
And then I'm also going to mention Samma. Samma is in, I believe they're in Connecticut now. Really interesting folk punk singer. I think you'll like what they're doing. So first we're going to be playing Jonestown by Nicotine Jones, and then we will be playing Shit's Really Bad and It's Only Getting Worse by Samma.
That sounds relatable.
Exactly. Here on the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com.
It's only getting worse, and you will all sing.
It's only getting worse, it's only getting worse!
Here on the Struggles Real Buffalo Music Podcast. That was Nicotine Jones playing Jonestown, and then from there we went and we played Shit Is Bad and It's Only Getting Worse by Samuel.
True that.
It is only getting worse. So we're gonna talk...
I liked how stripped down both of those were, you know? Very,
yeah.
Very stripped
raw.
Down. Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, it's...
Is that what makes it punky?
I think so.
The
like,
raw.
People were just like naming all these random musicians that you have on the side stage. Like Carrie Faye was one of them. And it's like, I love Carrie, but I don't know if she's punk. And I think, and I've been really trying to figure out what kind of takes it from folk to folk punk. Because the lines there are really blurred. And I mean, even speaking from my end, you know, when I was back in my day, we didn't have folk punk. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it's like we, there was... That wasn't even a genre. Like you just
power chord punk.
You just consider those people folk, I
skater
think.
Punk. I don't know. But then things get emo.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, things got emo.
No, but like you could wear overalls and a flannel and play your folk punk. Yeah.
Yeah, but and you can have a fucking mohawk too. Like,
that's
it's
right.
Really, like Wyatt Coyne is like cow punk, like folk, but like it goes completely the other way, and it's really interesting. It's
so many genres, really.
I really look at. I'm hoping to see some more evolution within that genre because I think
right.
they can do some really cool stuff. So upcoming shows on Wednesday, October 16th at Mohawk Place, Calliope Musicals, Sarah Golly and Erica Wolfling are performing.
I just saw Miss Erica Wolfling. I am always excited to hear
She's
her play.
So good. I describe her voice the same every time, but it's just like thick. And like buttery and just
for
like
sure.
Yeah, she's great. Sarah Golly, who's playing, she's from New York City. She's done some stuff with Infringement Festival.
Where's the show? Tell me again.
Mohawk Place.
All right.
She does looping stuff and she's excellent.
On a Wednesday though. Does
yeah.
that start early? What time does that start?
That I don't know.
I bet it starts a little earlier.
It probably does start a little early. Probably like an 8 to 11 kind of jam.
Yeah.
So if you get a chance, you can go check that out. Then on a non-music note, on Tuesday, October 22nd at the Riviera Theater, Mystery Science Theater 3000 is coming.
Oh, my gosh. And you didn't want me to talk about Scaryoke? That's a non-music
I didn't tell you.
Note.
No. You said not to talk about Scaryoke.
Oh, I just didn't know
we
were talking
about
Mystery
too.
Science Theater. Well, I mean, it is that is cool.
We do try to be funny on this.
Are you going
podcast.
To that?
And there, oh, yeah. I had tickets
oh, yeah,
for it in
for
Rochester.
Sure. For sure.
But I had to sell them. And now I saw they're coming here, and I knew I had to go. And the original host, Joel Hodgson, is on the tour. It's going to be
right.
his last tour. I have third row tickets for this one.
Oh.
So, but no, we try to be funny on this podcast, and these guys are definitely
a giant
influence on my sense of humor and the way I do things. I did spend a good portion after college getting drunk and watching Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah, I'm not an advocate of drunkenness, but I do like Mystery Science Theater 3000.
It was time well spent.
Dorkiness, yes.
Yes. Then on October 19th at Buffalo Ironworks, we have the first of many Halloween-y shows we're going to mention here. And this one is Fernway's second annual Halloween show. We were there. We did a couple episodes on it last year. It was really fun. The bill includes Fernway, Post Prom, who I really like, Ugly Sun is really cool, Ponder, Canitus, haven't heard of them, Johnny and the Man Kids, who I absolutely love, Grace Greenan and Jake Santa Lucia. I'm guessing there is a costume contest. Last year, Anderson's was there just giving away free ice cream.
I love free ice cream.
It was like the weirdest thing. You're just hanging out at a show and all these Anderson's
and
people.
And costume contests. I mean, people get really creative.
But like Anderson's comes in and they just start setting all their shit up. And you're like, oh, how much is it for an ice cream? And they're like, oh, it's free. Where the fuck am I?
And the heavens shine down.
Yes. Tell us, do you have your scaryoke information in front of us?
Do I have my scaryoke information? I believe that's also the same night.
That the 19th?
So it'll be the 19th. It is Squeaky Wheels benefit. It's an annual thing. I think it's like the eighth year that they've been doing this. So what we're talking about is different themed karaoke costume contest, a benefit for Squeaky Wheel Films and Media.
What's Squeaky Wheel?
Oh, you know, like if you're a movie maker and you're independently, you know, putting together your own visual art.
Sure.
They are really a wonderful resource, and you can rent equipment from them. They're down, I think they're still on Main Street, unless they're cooler than I remember. But in any event, it's $20 for a ticket. It's for a great cause. A lot of other artists get to benefit from your attending the scaryoke.
Absolutely.
They actually... you know, self-promote that it's the largest karaoke, costumed karaoke party, certainly in Buffalo.
Cool.
I mean, that's a big deal, right? It's at the DiNipro building. Have you been there?
I was just about to ask you where it is.
Yeah,
no, where,
the Ukrainian
where is
Center on Genesee.
Oh, yeah.
It's
Duke.
An awesome spot because you've got like that ballroom, you got that underground bar. Normally that's pretty members only,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So they got good food and beers there always.
No, I've yet to be at the Ukrainian American Civic Center for a show, but we interviewed Jess Doctor from there last year, who was the president at the time, and I've at least heard from others that it's a really cool place for shows.
Yeah.
So check that out. And then on October 25th, there's another Halloween show. It's going to be the Haunted Gypsy, Hollow Society, Boney Tony. He's a new artist, a folk singer, kind of funny guy. He did some infringement stuff and was really great. Rory McCormick, another infringer. I saw him at Music is Art. He was making music in the silos. And he had 6 hours of programmed music. Like, he wasn't even looping stuff. Like, it was really incredible. And I hadn't really spent any time, like, seeing him play or anything. He's an incredible musician. Medusa is playing. She's another artist I got familiar with at Infringement. She's kind of a solo... kind of has an Evanescence kind of vibe. Vera Needle's going to be there. If you folks aren't familiar with her, she does all sorts of fun kind of gothic rock stuff. She does some dance stuff. And then Jay Aquarius is playing. And if you haven't seen him, he's delightful. Are you familiar with Jay Aquarius?
I'm not sure. I guess
like,
I'm not.
He's like a one-man party. He's just like, he brings the hip-hop show with him. He does some singing, dances around a bit. He's even like, for Infringement, he was going to have background dancers with
what
him
is he
stuff.
Wearing? I picture this man in like breakaway pants.
You know,
are those coming back?
I'm not the person to ask about what fashion is coming back, but I could see him in tearaway pants.
Okay.
I don't think that's beyond the realm of possibility. So that's at Milky's on October 25th, and then also on October 25th.
Also on October 25th, Nietzsche's does its annual show for Halloween with the Irving Claws. There will be a costume contest, and the Soul Butchers will be joining the lineup to play the music of the Ramones for $5. This
$5.
Is certainly a good time.
I'm kind of, I want to go to both of those shows, so I got to figure
out. Are you
going to
do it? You're going to double dip?
I'm going to try and figure. I got to see who's playing at what time at Milky's.
I believe in teleports.
Both of them are within walking distance of my
apartment.
That's
true.
So I can, or at least I take an Uber from Milky's to Nietzsche's and walk home. But are the Irving Claws doing covers, or is it just the Soul Butchers as the Ramones?
You know, they usually have a theme, but it hasn't really been announced yet. I looked at that event page, and it seems like it's yet to, at least at the time of this recording, Ryan Gernot, we have not had those details announced.
Have you ever, I mean, you've been in some bands before. Did you ever do a Halloween set where you played another band stuff?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
Real Big Fish.
Oh, that's
yeah.
So cool.
And the She's Got a Girlfriend Now song was like the hit of that gymnasium. It was a college gymnasium Halloween cover party. It was so great.
Oh, man. I've always wanted to do that. I've been in bands. We've talked about doing Green Day before, and we had talked about doing... I was in one band. We wanted to do Gwar for a Halloween show.
That would be, you know, taking on something holy theatrics, Batman.
Yeah. So
that's really ambitious.
Maybe next year I got to put something together.
See, I just broke out some checkered Vans and an itty bitty tutu and some, like, you know, dorky suspenders, and I crimped my hair, and I called it a costume because I was a ska kid.
Yeah.
But, like... Yikes. Gwar?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, I think we need at least like six.
Definitely like the 4th of July
joining.
Before. Yeah, yes. The year before.
Yeah, about 15 to 18 months of
That's right.
prep work. I mean, even just getting
a team of 20.
Even just getting all that fake blood together would have to take months. Where are you going to store the fake blood? Oh, man, I'm just frustrating myself thinking about it. All right, so... After Halloween, on Friday, November 1st, Deep Valleys is having a release party for their new CD at Stamps, Friends of the Podcast of Night and Light, and Shoegaze band Previous Love, who I'm a big fan of. They'll be playing at that.
Nice.
On November 9th, we have, these last three are all struggling production shows. Mm-hmm. On November 9th, Kurt Riley's coming in from Ithaca. If you're into, like, David Bowie and, like, Beatles stuff.
Who is not?
He's got this glam rock vibe going. We have The Lady or the Tiger and The Great Mistake, who are both kind of like Beatles-esque kind of pop bands.
Okay, okay.
We have Makeout Tactics. I'm really excited about this. Yeah, we even got sound effects in the back. I'm really excited about... And we have Makeout Tactics. Makeout Tactics is a brand new band. They're a bunch of young, just out of college kids who live downtown. There's like 7 members of the band. They have a big sound. It reminds me kind of Death Cab for Cutie.
7 members of the band, and they get together and rehearse, and they have actual...
They all live in the same house together.
Great.
Isn't that great?
Great.
One of those houses. I always wanted to be in one of those houses. So, yeah, they remind me of Death Cab. They remind me of Broken Social Scene. It's going to be their very first show. I'm super excited that they're doing this with us. So hopefully we'll have a song of theirs to play on the next episode of the podcast.
Good, good.
So we have them, and then we also have VR Sunset, who describes themselves as synth calculator music.
Like, so, I'm the operator of my pocket calculator? Lots of bleeps and dips and dings?
Yes.
Yes?
So they'll be closing out the night. So I'm curious to see what they have in
store.
Are
they going
to
make R2-D2 noises?
There's only one way to find out.
I need to
You
find
have to
out.
Be there on November 9th at doors at 8, show at 9, $5. And then on November 23rd, we're putting together a sad boy show.
Oh,
we're all going to get sad together. Right,
boys are allowed to get sad? And let's talk about men's mental health,
and
right?
That's what we do.
Stigma.
We have Philip Steven, Astrobula, and Day to Day are all doing solo sets.
Are they going to be sad you called them sad?
No, they're all pretty sad.
They know about
and
the
then and then
show.
We have Passed Out as our headliner.
Uh-huh.
And I'm super excited about that. They've long been one of my favorite bands in Buffalo, and we had a couple cancellations on this show, and I was looking through my list of bands, and I'm like, they're not like an emo band, but like Passed Out makes some pretty like listen to lyrical content. It's kind of sad.
You have quite the eclectic array of musical happenings.
So, yeah. So, I think that's going to be a really great show. It's our first show at the Buffalo Niagara Hostel.
Ooh.
If you haven't been there before, it's a really cool location. It's like right across. It's right near Shays.
You're in the theater district. You're
Main
down
Street.
Right where that train tips down.
We can do all ages shows there. So, it's
Very
all ages,
good.
Which makes me really excited.
That's
and,
important.
It's a really nice room. It has an amazing PA system that they just got over like the last 6 months. I think it's going to be.
I've seen a lot more booked there. That's probably.
I think it's going to be a really great place for shows coming up, and I hope they keep doing what they're
good,
doing.
Good, good, good.
And then finally, and I'm really excited about this, on December 6th at Milky's, we are holding Battle of the Buffalo Bassists.
Ooh, that's happening.
Yes. So we have 8 bassists. We have Matthew Rule from Insoluble. We have Jaron Abraham from Beyond Mountains. We have Jack Culp from the Damone Jackson Outcome. We have Logan Drost from This, Brian Herlihy and Eric Stackwitz from Type Relevant, Philip Thomas from Dilettante, and Ben Yukonevich from The Scarecrow Show. It's a friendly competition. It's a single elimination tournament.
Yeah.
And then at the end, we're obviously probably going to have some extra time at the end. We're just going to have a whole bass jam out where everyone's playing together.
Wow.
Probably not everyone playing together, but
that might be thick. Yeah. Could get muddy.
Yeah. 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 That's bass players like it thick. So I'm happy we're doing that. I think it's going to be a charity show. I just haven't decided what kind of charity is going to be attached, but this is definitely a kind of a one-time...
All about the bass.
...kind of thing. So, I liked the idea of doing a battle rap thing, which is something we tried like a year and a half ago, but we had a lot of cancellations for that, so we couldn't do it. And now there's a lot of other people doing battle rap. So
sure.
This was kind of my evolution of doing something similar to that.
No, I like it. I like it.
And, you know, bass players don't get a chance to shine. So
it is their moment in the sun.
Shine, boys. All right. So we are definitely running out of time. So speaking of Ben Yukonevich from The Scarecrow Show, we are going to play a fantastic track from The Scarecrow Show. Back in July, they played the Town Ballroom for the Scathed EP release party with Carpool, Erie Shores, and Scathed. Here's my favorite band in Buffalo playing World of Horror.
Ooh, that's a big thing.
And it's Halloween. It's World of Horror. I didn't even plan that.
Scarecrow Show?
Yes.
Yes.
Awesome. All right. Here on The Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com.
Which one are we doing? Let's see. Yes. Here's a song featuring my brother, Mr. Ben Yukonevich, on the bass. Let's talk about the zombie apocalypse. Goes like this. Thank you.
And that is all we have for episode number 42. We don't have a guest lined up for episode 43 yet, but November features a whole slew of local album releases, including Jordan Potter, Ian McCune, Jen DeSantis, and Eleni and the Bliss. So we're going to see how many of them we can talk to. And
we'll also have music from July 28th and music and interviews from our second anniversary episode from October 4th.
It was awesome.
Check out allwny.com or download the AllWNY app. There you can find the local music stream and its family of podcasts, including The Skeleton Closet with Carl Winslow, Corey Comments, The Nick and Dan Show, The Think So Joe Show,
hosted by Karina DeFabio and Parrotface Megadoodoo.
And our favorite podcast, The Big Picture with Michael Sargent, where you can learn the proper colors to really add some P.O.P.
Pop. That's supposed to be pop.
Pop.
Yes, you can say that line again.
And our favorite podcast, The Big Picture with Michael Sargent, where you can learn the proper colors to really add some pop to your basement bunker.
Check us out on Facebook at the Struggle is Real podcast. We are on Twitter at SIR Podcast NY. That is all for us. Being musicians, chaos. Please be kind. See you next time. And keep struggling.